Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Content warning. The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I'm joined, as always, by Haley, a.k.a. Arizona Right Watch.
Hello, everybody. It is me. We're having a lot of feast drama this week, and I just want to wish everybody a happy Feast of the Annunciation, which will be on Sunday. That's to celebrate the day when the Virgin Mary knew she was going to have Jesus. Elle, you missed this last week. It's a movable feast, so I wished it on both episodes.
I mean, openings. Just because I wasn't here for it doesn't mean I missed it.
Anyways, here's Elle. He's looking good.
And I'm also joined by the mysterious Elle.
Hey, I'm back, beautiful babies. I hope you missed me, but not too much, because I think we had a guest host, if I recall correctly, because spoiler warning, I gotta listen to these. I think we had a guest host, so I hope that you loved the guest host as much, if not more, than me. In fact, I always hope that every guest host gets more attraction than any of the rest of us. That'd be great. We'd be star makers.
Yes.
Boy, Haley's gonna leave us for greener pastures. And then we're gonna be like, remember us? Yeah. Goodbye. Fuck no. What?
There's no such
thing. Oh, God. Hellworld, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was never part of that podcast. And she files like a cease and desist order against us. We cannot air any future episodes without like having the,
It's like our secret podcast, if we ever did one, which we didn't.
No, we didn't. Absolutely.
I would just like to give a shout out to last week's guest, Stephanie, who was great.
There we go.
Yep.
I
know they listen, yeah. So they should know that they were good.
That's true. But I also interacted with them on Blue Sky and made a funny little joke about me, like implying that I didn't listen to the show because I don't, and I want to be upfront about that. But I was just like, I'm sure they loved you. I didn't want to lie and just be like, she was great, like incredible, so good, 10 out of 10, like would listen to it again. Because they'd be like, fucking lying, mate. I know you. I'm one of the 3 people who've ever talked to you on Blue Sky. You're a liar. And I'm just like, thanks. That's what I use my Blue Sky for. I let people know when I'm lying about stuff.
Yes. That's what Blue Sky is all about, is lying and furries.
My Blue Sky feed is for the truth that people don't want to hear. And not like in conspiratorial sense, but just like hot takes that are actual hot takes. Hot takes that would get me fully attacked by the beehive, if you get what I'm saying.
What do you think of Cowboy Carter?
I think it's fucking horrendous. I think what she did
to
I think what she did to Jolene is like a crime against music and humanity.
I thought it was good. I liked Jolene.
I do not like the original Jolene. But when I heard that Dolly Parton signed off on what Beyonce did to that song, I was just like, oh no. Dolly, you don't seem like you need money. I feel like you're rolling in dough. So, like, is this for clout? Is this just to try to stay relevant? What's the deal?
I liked the Jolene.
Really? I think you're literally, like, you, including all of my TikTok scrolling, I think you're the first person to say that you liked her Jolene cover. So that's actually interesting.
Yeah, I liked it.
I'm glad that there's a market for it, I guess. Especially because you seem like a reasonable person and not like one of her like cult of personality fans, mm-hmm. which just make me dislike her.
No, yeah, I really am not. I rarely listen.
But I posted this on my Blue Sky. I've always thought that Beyonce has this problem where she writes like a minute worth of like an incredible timeless song that everybody will remember in perpetuity. But all those people will also conveniently forget the other like minute and a half to 2 minutes of that song. Like, all the parts of Single Ladies that anybody hums are like 30% of that song. After the part that everybody loves and hums and will continue to dance for forever and will be played in stadiums into eternity, Beyonce goes off on some stuff and everyone's just like, yeah, we're just going to pretend like a Single Lady. Dude, that song, all the Single Ladies, put your hands up, like it, ring on it, love it. And then it's just like, yeah, but what about the rest of that song? And they're just like, but that is that's the song. So like the rest of it, that's like fluff. We don't need it's like the last minute of what's that Billie Eilish song? Bad guy.
Yeah.
It's like the last minute of that. The radio agreed with me on that one. They were just like, oh, it's tied to the part where she starts to get drowsy because her like medication kicked in. Yeah, we're just gonna edit that part out right there. We're just gonna keep it to the up tempo fun stuff. Cool. Anyway.
I was totally re-listening to Mars Volta. And I was laughing at how much the radio cuts out of their songs because they do this thing where they just start making noise for 12 minutes in between the song and then they get back to the song and the radio's like, we're going to cut all that and we're going to make one cohesive song.
Yeah, I mean, radio edits for like vulgarity are like crummy, but sometimes the radio edit for like brevity is like pretty good. Like, you know, Redbone. Like, doesn't the album version of Redbone have like a minute long outro that's just like a different song? Like, yeah, let's cut that out of the radio edit because all anybody wants is like the funky groovy part and not like Donald Glover's another one of those people musically. He'll like get in the pocket, he'll give you some incredible hooks, like just like a great song, like 90 seconds of pure banger, and then he's just like, now time to be on some other shit for a while. It just turned, like, you can just picture him like noodly dancing and like grooving out like he just like he just did some ketamine and now it's kicking in and he's like, different song time, slow it down. Yeah, it's like, what? No, what are you talking about? This is like a thing I can dance to in a club. Don't act like Quaaludes just kicked in.
The song that immediately came to mind for me after you brought up the whole 90 seconds of banger and then just not great afterwards is Fortunate Son. Because like the opening, like opening lyrics of Fortunate Son are just like so hard. And then the song just becomes like really weird and incoherent where the guy's like, yeah. And then when the tax man wants money, people are like, I don't want to give it to him. That ain't me. And it's like, how did we get to this? Like, what was the point? Like, literally, like, that song should just be, like, the first, like, 45 seconds repeated three times.
And the guitar riffs.
Right, that's it. And the song just
And I get it, because if you let me rant for long enough, eventually it will, like, completely fall off the rails, and I'll probably say some shit that I actually do regret. And what is music if not consolidating your rants down and using a melody to, like, keep them alive longer than they need to be? Really, like, air out some grievances that, like, down the line you might look back on it and just be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, the lead singer of Paramore is sort of that way with, like, their first song. She's just like, look, call that girl a whore in that song. Like, not a great look. Not super proud of it. Like, you know, no. Like, and that's cool. Like, personally, I don't think that, like, you know, I think that it's, like, up to individual artists to decide how guilty they are about the stuff that they were putting out when they were worse people. Because, in theory, everybody is consistently getting better. Like, you're always improving. Like, if you're doing it right. So, like, anything you make that's supposed to last forever is going to represent a point in your time. So, like, I try to give people, like when James Gunn's, like, quote-unquote controversial tweets got him kicked out of Disney for a little while, and then, like, every actor that had worked with him revolted because, first of all, they were pretty tame, and second of all, it was from forever ago. It's like, yeah, I mean, let's give people a little leeway of this horrible shit they said and did, like, you know, whatever. Like, let's not judge everybody by the shit that their output, artistic and otherwise, from like fucking when they were shittier people. Anyway.
Mike, what have you been listening to this weekend?
Fortunate Son, apparently. What a grandpa pick. I'm sorry. I couldn't let that one go. I was trying, but it bubbled up.
Oh, no. That's casino music. Fortunate Son's just on the playlist of the casino.
It's Trump rally music, too.
Oh, I'm sure it is. It has to be.
He always plays that song.
Oh, it's such a hokey thing. Actually, I've been listening to... I've been trying to beat the earworm of Houdini out of my head by Dua Lipa. Like that song.
Because your work?
Oh no! Well, it played at my work a couple times, and then it because clearly someone at my work is a Dua Lipa fan because like we never update the playlist, and then out of nowhere we got Houdini in the playlist, and also we got the Dua Lipa Barbie song, the Dance the Night Away song, that got into our playlist, and I don't care about that one as much, but the Houdini like immediately like the first couple times I heard it, I was like, ah, this is a thing. And then, like, the third or fourth time I heard it, it just ate my brain. And now I'm just, like, the only way I can defeat the earworm is to just play it so many times I get sick of it. So, like, now I'm just, like, trying to build immunity to the song. And I'm just, like, this was more of a banger than I thought it was.
My current song of the now that I can't get enough of is a recommendation for people who like Benny Benassi's Satisfaction or the artist Knife Party. An artist named Gregor McMurray dropped a track called What I Want recently that is fucking sick. And I love to just turn it up very loud and play video games to it in my headphones. It's quite good. If you like a robot voice over some electronic music, it's pretty slick in that way, but I get that's not for everybody.
I've been listening to a lot of Leonard Cohen lately. Really? So, yeah.
Just because, or are you like...
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, I didn't know if you were like, you know, I didn't know if you were in the pocket for like something you were working on, you know?
Sometimes. In the pocket of big Leonard Cohen?
Yeah, I didn't know if he was like, if his people were funneling you money to just really give him a chance. Here's $20.
Yeah.
Like, that would win me over fucking any artist. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, if 4G Auto Blow comes out to me, it's just like, hey, man, listen to my new track, $20. I'd be like, yeah, all right. And then take the 20, listen to the track. Say, what'd you think? And like, shit fucking sucked. Thanks for the $20, bro.
It's like, they haven't got a boost this big since Hallelujah was in Shrek.
And also everything. You remember when Hallelujah was in Watchmen during that wildly inappropriate scene?
In the fuck scene, yeah.
When they're slow fucking in the night owlmobile, and then when they come, it shoots a jet of fire.
It's like, boom, button. And Leonard Cohen's blasting. That's how it should be.
I think we talked about this on Binge-worthy at one point. Like I seem to remember having this conversation on something I was recording. And
we're getting into Hellworld After Dark here.
This is just us talking about a single funny. Like we got here organically talking about Hallelujah. We're not just trying to be pervy. But yes, we should steer away from it before it becomes Hellworld After Dark. Because if we're going to do that, we need to make the people pay for that. They need to pay.
Yeah.
And that way it can be behind the paywall, so if we say anything too offensive, we won't get in too much trouble.
I love ASMR L voice. It's the best voice.
All right, so with that said, let's get into my first amuse-bouche for the past couple of weeks.
It's time for a light sampling of insanity. Get ready for the amuse-bouche.
I mean, my excitement immediately deflated once I saw our first item, but that's because these are always for Mike's amusement more than anyone.
We got to hype Mike,
dude, and I'm here for it. I'm here. My personal amusement, my personal enthusiasm diminished greatly, but it's being like siphoned into Mike Reigns, who's like enter the ring, because I guess Mike Reigns has been battling people on Twitter again.
Even I texted Mike, and I was like, I was just hyping him about some of his Twitter retweets.
Has he been crushing it recently?
He's been crushing it. Everybody should know that's listening right now, Mike crushing it on Twitter.
The first thing was what Haley's bringing up is that I had a tweet go viral, and as viral as anything can do in the QAnon sphere. But like Donald Trump Jr. posted a meme about Michelle Obama being trans and jumping in on the whole trans day of remembrance, a trans visibility day, which we're talking about later.
And Mike, like the proud ally he is, was like, I want to suck her cock. And he went viral, like big viral. Like,
that was the move. That was the content. That was absolutely the content of my tweet, 100%. Actually what I said, which was 100% true, was this shit will get no play in the media. Donald Trump Jr., like, who is a campaign surrogate for the Trump campaign and was basically, I mean, he wasn't as big as Jared and Ivanka were in the Trump White House, but, I mean, it wasn't like Trump wasn't delegating everything to his kids because he ain't doing shit. But this guy is like a cog in the Trump machine, and he's just posting a meme on social media being like, Michelle Obama has a dick! And our media just doesn't care. Our media just doesn't even get into the transphobia, the racism, the shittiness of all this.
Well, I mean, because there were several. That part is like actually like bonkers. I mean, it's like the Salem witch trials. You have to, like, them ladies were on a pretty hot run, and then they chose one wrong target, and that was the ball game. It was just like, that's a wrap on that. Like, if you figure the wrong person, LOL, I hate that term, but here it is. If you figure the wrong person to one of these accusations, it just sort of makes everything you're saying seem like patently ridiculous. And, you know, a lot of people, rightly so, will consider Michelle Obama, the former First Lady of the United States of America, was secretly trans this whole time. It's like, first of all, who cares? Second of all, no, wrong. But, like,
it's racist. It's incredibly racist. But, like, Mike, I agree that, like, it, you know, the media, it's just like so normalized that the media doesn't even care, because there were several lawmakers that also made similar quote unquote jokes on Trans Day of Visibility. One also making the Michelle Obama reference. And like this leaked into the actual like opening prayer, like the next day in the ledge. And a lawmaker started to make, like, anti-trans comments towards, like, we have, like, the first non-binary legislator in Arizona, and he was, like, making those comments towards her. And it's like, yeah, this, it seems like we should probably be paying attention to some of this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so the tweet happened. The thing that made me laugh the most was Martina Navratilova, the tennis player lady, who does not have a great track record when it comes to trans issues, actually retweeted me and was like, what the fuck? And I was just like, yeah, sorry. Maybe you should not be so crazy about trans people in athletics and all that kind of stuff. But you do you. So, I mean, it looks like it's her real account, but she doesn't have a blue check mark. Who knows? So, but yeah, that was fun. But the other thing that happened was I screenshotted some asshole, and then he came at me, and because he was like, it's okay to be white, it's not okay to be a Satanist, and I was like, the First Amendment protects Satanism, and then he was just like, bah! And I was like, what's wrong with being a Satanist? And then he quote tweeted my comment about what's wrong with being a Satanist, and oh man, did it send the flying monkeys at me, and I had all these people yelling at me, and they don't understand that, like, I'm like a old school internet atheist. I love fighting with people about this kind of stuff. Like, you're just
yeah, you fight, you set yourself a honey trap, and somebody managed to fucking put a signpost out front of it that said delicious honey this way.
Right, exactly. Like, I didn't even mean to do it, like, literally, but this guy was just like, hey, let's give Mike Reigns what he wants in the most ridiculous way possible. So yeah, so I basically got to have lots of arguments with lots of religious people. And Lord knows this is like super boring for a lot of people, and I apologize, and I'm going to wrap this up real quick. But the thing that makes me laugh so much is that I just view religion as being interesting, and to me, it's very weird because I understand on some level that it's like, if I reject God, God can reject me. That's fine. God, neither one of us are the bigger man in this issue. I'll go to the lake of fire. That's just them's the breaks. But what always gets me is the fact that you just have people that love God and are religious and they believe. And then you have these people telling them, oh, yeah, by the way, because you believed slightly wrongly, you go to the lake of fire along with all the people who didn't believe. And I've never understood that. I've never understood why God rejects people that love him just because they don't get one question on the test right, which is always so strange to me. And I've literally I've asked just so many people, does a devout Muslim go to heaven? And their answers are no comment or no. And it's just like, man, that I just think that's really, that just makes your God look crummy in my eyes. That's it. That's all there is to it. So,
yeah, well, tough shit, because he's your God too, and get ready for your
Hashtag not my God. Yes.
Thanks, Grandma.
I voted for a different God. It sucks. Fucking Florida.
Yeah, there's,
fucking...
there's only one God, and it gets all out. It's my Mormon God. That's right.
No!
Secretly Mormon this whole time.
I love that Mormonism's theme is John Cena's.
Well, yeah, because you couldn't see my Mormonism.
Yes, nor could I see the gold plates or Moroni.
Just so much stuff you can't see in that religion. So sneaky. Anyway,
yes.
Speaking of stuff that you can't see, or at least shouldn't be looking at directly, let's talk about the solar eclipse. I guess again, did you guys talk about solar eclipse last week? I don't know. Dude, our country is gripped by eclipse fever. So there's an unlimited amount of time that we can spend talking about the solar eclipse, apparently. Because, guys, it will be dark for, like, 3 minutes.
Well, that's a big deal.
That shit is crazy. Dude, the scientists are going to use it scientists are going to see how animals react to solar eclipse. Boom. Finally, the data we need. Yeah. Hey, how did these animals feel about 3 minutes of sudden darkness? Oh, my God, they're confused.
What if it turns on the nanobots that we all got from the COVID vaccine?
Yes!
Thank God, dude. I've been so tired of waiting. Like,
I know. What's going to turn them on? They've been sitting dormant for years.
Honestly, the worst part is the other shoe dropping. Like, which is why every time Russia's just, like, saber-rattling about nuclear warfare, I'm just like, oh, God, just get it over with already. I'm tired of waiting. Like, either shut up about it and never do it the way that everybody agreed that we shouldn't ever do it, or just do it, you know? Just shut up. I'm so tired of the waiting.
Put up or shut up.
Anyway, solar eclipse. That sort of thinking is clearly madness that I have, because that's obviously not a great way to look at the world, and I can blame it on the solar eclipse. Its imminent approach is causing shit to go crazy.
Yes. So basically, last week we had some people sort of kicking the tires on what kind of nuttiness is going to happen with the solar eclipse. Are we going to have mass arrests? Is this a cover story for the White Hats seizing power? And,
oh my God, is the sun being blocked out by the moon the first arrest?
Yes.
Basically. Isn't this when we attack the Fire Nation? Isn't this when we're supposed to do that? Or is it when we're vulnerable? What's getting blocked out?
No, I think comet and atmosphere, good for Fire Nation. Sun blocked out, bad for Fire Nation. I think that's how it goes.
Okay, so this is when we attack.
Yeah, this is when we get our revenge on them for being Nazis. Because they're Nazis in that show. And everybody still really loves Zuko, the one who gets redeemed.
He has redemption. You just said not that long ago that people can be redeemed, you know?
Yeah, sure. But I'm just saying, like, redemption from Nazi, that's a pretty long road to hoe.
He was
a
teenager, you know?
Okay.
I really like Avatar.
I also really like Avatar, but I'm still saying
I'm not going to watch the live action. Have you seen the live action? I know
they're being arrested right now for being Nazis when they were teenagers.
That's true. But I'm just asking, have you seen the live action?
No, why would I do
that? The new one on Netflix?
For myself or anyone.
I know. I really don't want to watch it,
I only buckled and checked out the One Piece show because everybody agreed that it was, like, surprisingly good. Like, I waited for a lot of positive buzz to build up behind it before I gave it a shot. And everybody's opinion on Avatar was lukewarm at best. So I was just like, I'm just going to pass. If I want to watch more Avatar, I'll just rewatch the incredible animated show.
Rewatch the show. That's my opinion too. Okay, sorry, Mike. So the Fire Nation is getting blocked out.
And also Recipes Mako.
There was a bunch of talk about, like, if this is going to be a good thing. And now people have decided... I saw, basically, there's this QAnon promoter named Vincent Kennedy. He is a huge grifter who's been running this very weird scam where he's an alien or he's JFK or who the fuck knows what his mythos is at this point.
JFK alien?
Yeah.
JFK alien?
Yes. No. And so now he has decided that because they're going to use the CERN collider during the solar eclipse, or like that... the bad guys are going to try to open a portal to hell during the eclipse. And this is going to lead to us needing to all pray very hard to stop them from ripping a fabric in reality and ushering in the demons that will kill us all. And so this is like the perfect way to handle this, because you make up a fake story of a terrifying thing that's going to happen. Then it doesn't happen. And then you salute your audience for doing the good thing that prevented the bad thing from happening. So it's going to be so ridiculous just watching all these silly people doing the very silly stuff. And then after the solar eclipse, they're going to be, we did it. We stopped the devil from manifesting on Earth via the power of our prayers.
By sneaking quick little cheeky peeks at this obscured sun the way that I'm not supposed to, but everybody does and will continue to do. I have averted the portal to hell being opened.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Yes. Yes.
I don't know, man. Like, it's, I would love to be, like, I would love for them to be more fired up over this solar eclipse. But the thing is that, like, it's imminent. And the people that are worried about it are just sort of like, hey, watch out for that eclipse. And that's the extent. They're just sort of like weekly on their computers being like, that eclipse is bad news. But for the people that have like pro solar eclipse fever, those people are coming out in like what I guess is expected to be the hundreds of thousands or millions to these like little communities to get a glimpse of darkness during the daytime. Wow, what a treat.
And that's like the other side of this is that because there's supposed to be so much tourism for this eclipse, that small communities are having their schools close. They're telling people to stock up on supplies because they're going to be invaded by these tourists. And the conspiracy theorists are all like, oh, look, like this isn't just a regular eclipse. Why is all this freaking out happening? Something big is going down. And I actually saw some dum-dum do this whole thing where he's, if the sun goes east to west, why is the eclipse going west to east? I don't understand it, but there's something crazy's going on. And it's like, you can Google how eclipses work. We understand this.
And to the other guy who's just like, why is everybody freaking out? Yeah, man, I'm asking the same question. But I think the grim answer that we have to reckon with is because a lot of people are still just sort of afraid of the sun, you know, like they're like solar eclipse, solar flare, like electromagnetic interference, all this stuff, dude. Like people just be afraid of the sun because people find a way to be afraid of anything. But the sun is just like,
yes,
it's around pretty often. And you would think that as the thing that banishes the darkness, which humanity is the most afraid of, we'd be pretty cool with the sun. But no, our ancestors were afraid of it and worshipped it, and now we've stopped worshipping it, but we are still afraid of it because a lot of us are very stupid. That's the answer for you there, bud. Oh, something going on. It's got to be something sinister. Nope, it's just people are dumb as fuck. It's the same. It's the same reason that people are compelled to go look at it. You know, like why would you be traveling hundreds of miles so that you could see? Like, sure, it's gonna look cool, I guess, but I mean, like, not proportional to the lift a lot of people seem to be giving it. Like, spending thousands of dollars, getting a place to stay, like, making it the anchor point for your weekend. It's like, bro, it's going to be a few minutes. It's going to be, like, a handful of minutes. And, like, if the conditions in the sky aren't good, like, you're going to be like, well, it was already kind of gray, and then it got grayer, but we couldn't see it because the clouds were out. Like the Northeast might be getting, like, a weird April Fool's Day snowstorm. Like, all the people that are going up to that band, like, good luck seeing your fucking son unless you're up on the top of one of the mountains, you know? And then you're going to get hammered by snow. So good luck with that.
Yeah, we're in the, like, I think like tonight we're supposed to get hit with a bizarre rain snowstorm. Like, a bunch of New England's going to get, like, a foot or something in the middle of April. It's like, way to go, weather. Totally, stay in your lane, idiots.
But, you know, if you're listening to this and you're one of the big Eclipse fans, then, you know, I just hope it's worth it for you, you know, like, if you've evaluated your shit and you're just like, dude, the opportunity to see total solar eclipse, like in person is worth whatever lift I have to do to get there, then, you know, that's on you. Like just because I think it's dumb doesn't diminish the fact that you can do and enjoy it. If you take nothing else of this podcast, dear listener, please let that be my message. Me hating on a thing, like it only diminishes your experience of that thing to the extent that you let it. Just let me enjoy being a dumb curmudgeon and just let it roll off your back, man, because you like a thing. Who gives a fuck?
that's what Beastie Boys fans do. So
we're all, dude. I talk mad shit about the Beastie Boys. It didn't stop them from getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, fucking being millionaires, successful, fucking, you know, like, if that information ever got to them, they'd just be like, who? Fuck that guy. And that should be everybody's opinion, you know? Yes, whenever anybody comes at something that you love, that should be, try to trade that into your default response. Fight or flight or fuck that guy. All right.
Yeah.
Solar eclipse news over. Let's talk about something even less meaningful. Jace Du. Jace Du lost one of their fans. And I'm assuming, since we're talking about it, it would have to be a big fan, or at least the situation would have to be a big, messy blow up that was somehow different than Mike Raines going viral on tweeters. Mike, couldn't you throw like a fucking a drive by shot into the Jace Du ruckus and just become one omni ruckus?
I could have, but this just seemed so weird, and also I feel terrible for the person in question. Basically, a backer of Jace Du who has the Twitter handle Ren Education, and Ren Educate You, and his avatar is Ned Flanders. And hilariously, I'm blocked. I just checked because I wanted to go actually read their stuff, so now I gotta switch over.
Hey, me too.
Yeah, well, I assume that this guy, because again, this guy got so deep into the Jace Duosphere that he just saw everybody that was like everyone that was near Mike Rothschild on any level was a bad person, and so he was on this massive kick. And today he has declared that Jace Du has scammed him, and that he wants his money back from Jace Du for all the lawsuits that Jace Du is not filing. And if Jay doesn't do this, he is going to go to the Canadian authorities about it. And people have dug into
this. Oh, shit,
the
Mounties.
Mounties. You know, they don't fuck around. They always get their man.
Have you been around a big horse? They're pretty fucking scary. You know?
Yes.
They've got, huge muscles and shit. It's pretty obvious once you're around them that you're just like, oh, damn, this thing can solo me and, six of my buddies.
Yes. Horses are no joke. And apparently this guy donated about $20,000 to Jay Stu's GoFundMe. So, this guy is in pretty deep to...
how much?
$20,000.
$20,000. Yikes, bro. Yeah. You could donate to the Hell World podcast
Patreon. Yeah, if you gave us $20, we would be over the moon. But yeah, this guy gave five figures to Jay Stu, and... he is now very much displeased. He is very upset at him, and he's basically figured out that Jace Du's a scam artist. And now, it sucks. But I mean, again, I don't know what legal recourse he has because he gave him the money, and it's a GoFundMe, so I don't know. But it's just, I hope bad things happen to Jim Stewartson as a result of this. Is basically my end statement, because this is a dude. This person in question is obviously very much hurting over this and the fact that they're now out a giant pile of money for what they thought was a good cause when it wasn't. Because Jim Stewartson is a grifter and a terrible person. So I mean, it's just like, man.
Well, I mean, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, that's me.
To some people, he's a freedom fighter who's speaking a secret truth that nobody wants to listen to, and only one truth.
To be more specific, he attacks legitimate researchers to create some wild fantasy that exists in his head, and he tries to discredit people who are doing good things, and he sucks.
I think that to the opposition, that's probably a pretty succinct argument about what we do, which would be great. And if any of you hear our oppos complaining about us in such a fashion, I would love to hear it. I would love for somebody to just be like, yeah, just a bunch of idiots who are just trying to stop us from doing our good work, you know, just out there doing, damaging real patriots. It's like, yeah, fucking ain't right we are. Get them.
Yeah.
Mike Raines loves that shit, as we went over. He loves it. He loves hating on conservatives and fucking talking atheist yang on the internet, like a classic vintage 2000 person. Like, did you have internet access on the 2000? Do you know what IRC is? Then you probably like arguing about religion. online.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just remember, when me and Elle got into we got into a car accident, and Elle was just like, yeah, we had to decompress. I had to smoke some butts. Mike probably argued with some Christians. I don't know what else he would have done. And I just thought that was like a spot on analysis of how I would decompress after a stressful situation.
Hey, man, we all got to blow off steam in our own ways, you know? Speaking of which, our good friend Haley likes to blow off steam by telling us the horrors of the state in which she lives. Or sometimes the glory. Every once in a while, there's like a glimmer of glory there. Every once in a while, Arizona, like the freedom fighters in Arizona, like the heroic rebels, but like Star Wars rebels, not the South rebels, are like fighting back against the great evil. Anyway, it's time for the Arizona Madness Recap Corner, Flaming Crater Dumpster Fire Edition, an RV full of meth exploding into a bus full of nuns who are already dead. I don't know where I'm going with this. I did get a great face out of Haley, though. All right, Haley, what's going on in your wonderful state that I love so much this week?
I'm going to just go ahead and hit everybody with it. Hitler management guy, he won a seat.
Hitler management guy?
Oh, you weren't here.
Was this
last
a last week thing? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that says, I just want to make sure I heard you right. I feel like through context, I can kind of understand. It sounds like a bummer. It doesn't sound great.
So just a quick recap. And for those who didn't listen last week, even though you should, there was an SRP election. That's they provide water and electricity to part of Maricopa County. And it was the board. A man named Stephen Williams. He has a company called Hitler Management LLC, and he tried to play it off in the media that like it was a joke that his family did, and he doesn't agree with it. But he's like kept it up to date and like kept re-registering it and kept it in good standing for over 20 years. and he
kind of feels rough having to say that he kept Hitler in good standing.
I know. So anyway, he won, and he kind of like blew it out of the park, according to like from the results, which is just like,
yeah. But isn't like the voting for this like really small? It's like a very
Yeah. And he already had the seat. He's like this. He's a so-called fifth generation rancher in Arizona, which that's always a yikes to hear. When someone says that, and he's definitely like I deserve more voting rights because I own a lot of land guy. And then, you know, the Hitler management thing. So it's like, he sucks. He shouldn't be on the board, but he won again. So that's that quick thing. Here's a fun thing. So
more fun than Hitler?
Yeah. Could you believe it? Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer, he's a big name in the, stop the steal election denial world, because he was the recorder during the 2020 election. He's kind of like he gets targeted by the far right a lot, even though he himself is a Republican. And he's faced a lot of very legitimate threats. I think he's, like, now, like, the fifth man has been charged and sentenced to threatening his life. And a lot of them are from, like, other states, because he became, like, kind of this national figure, you know, like villain. And a lot of the reason that he was the villain was because Carrie Lake was like, this guy is the reason Trump is not the president, you know? He's the one who stole Arizona. He sued her for defamation. And this was a big deal. Because she was going to move forward with the case and, subject herself to discovery, which was going to be exciting. But,
my God, discovery. It turns out a good discovery will ignite passion on both sides.
But instead she's decided that she's not going to defend her case. She's not going to defend the statements that she made against Stephen Richer. And she's essentially saying that she lied, about all the shit. So now they're going to decide, a judge is going to decide how much in damages she's going to owe to Richer. This is kind of like what happened to Giuliani, you know, with the, Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss. So yeah, Carrie Lake possibly facing some actual legal ramifications for the lies that she spewed for basically 4 years straight, but it kind of doesn't matter in some aspects because those lives have just like just seeped into the mainstream of the right, and it's like it's not just Carrie Lake repeating this shit and, you know, making comments that lead to threats on Richard's life and other people like him. It's like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people repeating that. So mission accomplished in a way. So hopefully she faces some repercussions there.
Yeah, she got hit with a default judgment there. She basically was like, I'm not going to contest it. Let's just go straight to penalty. And then I'll try to argue I should only pay the guy $1 because fuck him. So yeah.
And then also real quick, kind of good news, but I kind of would have liked it for content purposes. The QAnon shaman will not be running for Congress. He did not file. He did not get enough, signatures to file his petition to be on the seat.
That's fine. That just sort of means that just sort of indicates that he doesn't have enough juice to really be that entertaining for content in any way. So
he's yeah.
Fuck off until you get more juice again.
Well, I mean, obviously he ran such a shitty campaign that he couldn't even get enough ballot signatures to get on the ballot. Yeah.
And just real quick to also show people how much like just kind of like the threats are still here to stay for the people who basically chose not to overturn all of our votes during the 2020 election. Another person that was the target of a lot of these conspiracies and violence is the Clint Hickman. He's a Maricopa County supervisor. Quite a few of the supervisors were targeted because they were Republicans, but not like election denialists. He brought up at a board meeting last week that, a man who had made death threats against him, had been sentenced to 30 months in prison. Like, that's how he ended, the board meeting. And he mentioned, like, you know, a lot of the comments made here tonight resemble some of the comments that he made, before threatening me. And the crowd started cheering. Yeah, so we're good. Everything's going good. People who are not paying attention right now are in for a doozy. So yeah.
Yeah. Everything's coming up Milhouse the way we've always dreamed.
We're in an election year. It'll be good. I'm sure everything will go smooth. Trump isn't threatening anything violent.
Nope. Oh, no.
Hell yeah. Same as it ever was. Perfectly great. Yeah. What a country. Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Back to you guys.
Well, but before we transition into our news segment, I'm going to make an observation. I'm going to bring the listener into our world a little bit, our little private world. Mm-hmm. Welcome to our world, babies, where I'm going to describe a little bit of the pastiche of the wall I can see behind Mike Raines, because I can't believe I've never brought it up before. But behind Mike Raines is a poster. Kennedy for president. Looks like Kennedy campaign poster. Is that a real poster? Did they really use that for the campaign?
Yes, they did. This is a reprint by the Sixth Floor Museum.
Okay.
We got this when we went to Dallas.
What?
Yeah.
Can we discuss how fucking unfortunate that poster is in hindsight?
It does kind of look like a bullseye
It does kind of look like a crosshair directly on JFK's head, doesn't it now?
Yeah. You didn't even have to say anything, and I knew what you meant, because I think it every time I look at it.
The bottom part of it is blue, like his suit, and then the top half of it is red, like his like exploding his head. Cranium. Like, fucking unreal, that poster. I was like, how have I never noticed this before? At one point, I was like, somebody was speaking, and my eyes just drifted, and just looming over Mike's shoulder was just the depiction of JFK looking like he was being targeted. And I was like, does Mike have a weird conspiracy theory poster back there? And then I was like, no, it just looks like a JFK for president poster. Anyway.
Yep. That
Mike, let it go. He's dead. He can't, he can't be president anymore, man. Let it go.
No, that is one of the conditions for president. You have to be alive.
Say it with me. Obama is the new JFK. Now your turn. Okay. If you need to be praying for anybody to get additional terms, I feel like of all the presidents we still have kicking, it's probably Obama.
Oh man, there was some fucking right wing website. They had an article. It was like Trump 28. And it was like the 22nd Amendment's kind of bullshit. So maybe we should just get rid of that shit so Trump can run for a third term after he wins at 24. And I was like, okay, I'll re-raise you and we'll abolish the 22nd Amendment immediately. And then this campaign can be Trump versus Obama. How about that? Are you okay with those with those situations?
Yeah, but Biden and Trump are like about to have a debate. And then like the fucking the glass break sound effect happens. The Stokoe music kicks in. Obama just swaggers to the stage.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh no! It's like breaking news: 22nd Amendment repealed. Obama coming back for the third term.
Oh yeah, well that's never going to fly with us. Also, the Second Amendment repealed. You know, so
yes,
give us those two motherfuckers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right.
So yeah,
We've been dithering for long enough. It's time to get into our cues in the news.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's cues in the news.
Okay, so I'm not gonna lie, I don't know shit about this first topic, but Mike said that it's leading, so I have to. It's got to be juicy. If it bleeds, it leads. You know, and it's got the word canon in it. That's pretty cool. Canon fuck up? Question mark. I don't know. Mike, what the fuck is this? Who the fuck is this?
Okay.
Why should we care about this?
So this is Aileen Cannon, the lunatic judge in Florida, who has done her level best to make sure that Trump doesn't go to trial for the stolen documents, mostly because this is the easiest case for the government to prove, because they just bring up a witness, and they're like, did Trump take this shit? Yes. Was he allowed to? No. Did he give it back when you asked him to? No. No more questions. Prosecution rests. So in order to make sure that that case doesn't happen, Aileen Cannon has been doing all kinds of bullshit to string things along, to hinder the prosecution. But recently, she asked both the prosecution and the defense to prepare jury instructions based on the Presidential Records Act. And what she did was basically lie about what the law entailed. And it was just this basic thing where she was like, yo, prosecutors, you have to write these instructions to the jury as though this law says X when it really says Y. And it was at this point that Jack Smith released his reply to the judge last night, which was, no, fuck you, you're wrong. And I am now going to go to the appeals court above you over this shit. And basically, like, the small bore stakes of this is that the appeals court might be like, yeah, she's wrong. This isn't the way this goes. Fuck off. Which would be fine for everyone involved in the Trump side, because, again, this is all about just delaying the case. But there is a shot, not a great shot, but a shot that the appeals court is going to look at this and go, yeah, she's in over her head. We're removing her from the case, which is like what the libs are hoping will happen. Because if she's removed, we might get a judge who's not literally in the tank for Trump 100%. So, again, Cannon could have fucked this thing six ways to Sunday in a legal, acceptable way that the appeals court couldn't have fucked with. And she could have delayed it until after the election and then tried to make it go away afterwards, once Trump's are the God Emperor and fully immune from law, because the president has total immunity. But she just couldn't help herself, and she decided to just aggressively overstep. And as a result, now there is this possibility she could get thrown off the case. Will that happen? Probably not. But if it does, boy howdy, would that be hilarious. And Donald Trump would probably have yet another stroke as a result of his legal proceedings going not the way he expected to. Because, again, this wasn't even supposed to make it to trial ever. This was, they had this thing in the bag with their crooked judge, but their crooked judge was so stupid, she managed to fuck it up and maybe screw it up for them totally. So big ups to Judge Cannon and Jack Smith and everyone involved in this. And
yeah, if a lot of these corrupt Republicans weren't morons, we'd be in real trouble. But
yes,
it turns out that a lot of them were just dumb as a fucking post. And yes, you know, the corrupt machine is elevated to the places of power where they could just fucking bungle. They're like, they're all Cobra Commander. They're just constantly bungling. They're just bungling their own shit. So dumb.
Yes. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's so ridiculous. I mean, this is just wild that these idiots literally just had, like, because this case, I'm sure that it would be longer than what I'm saying, but this feels like this would be a very short case. That's been one of the big things about these trials before the election is we got to get it in before the election. This one feels like it'd be very easy for the prosecution to present a very brief, succinct case to the jury and then rest. And then the defense just has to throw shit at a wall for as long as they possibly can to try to explain why Trump's crimes are not crimes. So delaying this case was of the utmost importance, and they literally had it done. And now they might have undone it themselves because Aileen Cannon was just like, hey, can you instruct the jury that will never get this case, about things that are a fantasy that I've made up? And it was just like, oh my God, really? No, Aileen, no, Trump might go to jail for forever. That'd be terrible. Oh no. So yeah. So good on her, and may more disasters happen to Team Evil.
Wow, that's pretty rude to Donald Trump to wish continued failure upon him.
I'm a rude person. I fully acknowledge that.
Also, what a waste of a wish. His consistent failure should just lead you to believe that, like, left to his own devices, like, the failure will continue to flow.
This is true.
It was that, like, he rose to a height that seemed unimaginable, and that was like driving one of those like maple stakes into a maple tree to extract the sap. And from that lofty height, unlimited failure will flow. Although he did manage to find a billionaire buddy, who apparently became a billionaire in the realm of insurance to give him the $153 million he needed. Which I thought was a funny headline to read, because I actually read a little more into that, and at one point the guy was just like, yeah, we were already trying to reach out to him to give him the $450. And I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute there, buddy. Would you like to say that fucking under oath? Because if you're interested in that, like, we could probably go back to the court and inform them that you had been trying to reach Trump's people to get the full amount before he went and whined that it was impossible to get that amount. Sorry, this isn't technically a news item, but it's the thing that I heard that happened. Maybe you talked about it last week. Time is an illusion. I don't know when it happened. But what is it?
All of this is...
Sorry, I didn't mean to trouble over you there. I was just going to pop forward after my fucking own tangent. Have next on the agenda for our Accusing the News segment is, of course, related to Donald Trump. Because why wouldn't it be? Everything's fucking related to Donald Trump these days. But this time it's about Truth Social and about how Truth Social stonks are going to the moon. And yes. I know that we at Hell World pooled all of our resources and invested heavily. And we're going to ride this rocket to the moon. Unlimited growth potential. Just don't ask about whether or not the company is profitable, because it is not.
No.
And for more on this, I'll toss it over to Mike Raids. Mike, what's going on with these truthy stonks? GameStop, baby.
Yeah,
everybody knows how great GameStop was. The GameStop stock, it went huge. It made a lot of people a bunch of money, and now everybody loves GameStop and is still shopping there, and it's making a ton of dough.
Yes. All of these things are accurate and true. Truth Social, QAnon and all these people were having an absolute fit because Truth Social was going to go public, and it was going to make Trump a billionaire, and woo, it's going to go great. And the stock was appraised at somewhere around $80, and already it is currently under 50. It is tanking so goddamn hard. I saw people online posting about how they were trying to short it, and they just couldn't find anyone willing to give them short positions on the stock, because the stock is absolutely worthless. Like, the whole idea that, the market cap of this business is $6 billion. It's like, no, it isn't, because Truth Social has no room for growth. It is a like D-tier version of Twitter, And we already had that in Parler, Gab, Telegram, and Nazi Meat, and any other like website for right-wing lunatics. So it's not like this thing has any actual plans to do anything other than just be a pile of money for Donald Trump himself. And
he's just sitting there wringing his hands and sweating nervously for 6 months. And one would have to imagine literally the moment that 6 month mark happens and he's out of his claws, his like pump his fucking dump claws, he's gonna be like, dump it, dump all of it.
Oh yeah. Oh god, yes. Oh man, fuck my audience, fuck everyone. Boom. We're just throwing all this money into a fireplace. And
maybe once it's great worthless, news, we can buy truth.
Hmm? Oh yeah. That'd be awesome. Oh man, that was like it was like people talking about Alex Jones being liquidated and how Infowars.com is gonna have to be for sale at some point.
That'd be great. We're just like, so we're the opposite of Elon Musk. We are fucking the speech police. We're here to throttle your free fucking speech. We dare you to mention some shit we don't like. Boom, banned. Read the fucking terms of service, motherfucker. You have no rights here. Yeah. This ain't a country, bitch. It's a platform.
The most Truth Social, the most censored platform on the internet.
Yeah, that'd be great. The real truth is what we decide.
Yes.
The truth.
Yes, exactly. The party determines what the truth is.
Mask off media. Yes. This is what you fuckers wanted. You wanted people to tell how it really is. You only ship it numbers to us.
Yeah. And another news story came out today that the only reason why Truth Social even made it to this point was that it was loaned millions by a Russian-American businessman who's come under criminal investigations after his friend Insider traded on Trump media. So, weirdly enough...
Truth Social is only worth what it was after a large cash injection by a Russian businessman whose friend Vladimir Putin is currently engaged in war with Ukraine.
Yeah, so this is, again, this is absolutely the dumbest meme stock ever. Anyone who thinks they're going to make a penny off of this is out of their gut, by not shorting it, is out of their goddamn mind. It has no value, and if it did somehow not go tits up immediately and Trump won the presidency, then he would either have to divest or just be the corrupt president, and then we could literally watch foreign countries bribe or harm the president as they saw fit by fucking with the stock he owns, which I think would be is not a national security crisis in any way, shape, or form. That wouldn't be bad. Like, America suddenly loves Iran after Iran buys $1 trillion stocks of Truth Media. It's like, oh, man. Just the absolute biggest clown show.
So how many stocks did you buy? You think this is a good investment?
Oh, are you God. All in?
I think now's the time to buy.
Oh, buy the dip. Yes, buy the dip.
Let these fools put even more money into your pocket. All anybody needs to trust is DJT. He's going to fucking bring us over the goal line. We all know it.
Oh, yeah. I still have all my boxes of Trump steaks. I got my Trump water. I got
my
shoes? Degree from... The shoes. I got my shoes.
Oh, dude, I've got two pairs of the shoes, so I can wear a pair on my hands, too, and then run around like a horse girl. That's not true. If I tried to bend over like that, I'd fall over immediately.
Oh, God. L the horse girl. That was a perfect visual.
Dude, you can't spell horse girl without L. You know what I mean?
No, you can't. Yes.
The proof's in the pudding.
Yep, it's right there. It's all there.
I love that Haley woke up for a moment to chuckle at that one. Thanks, Haley. Your validation means the world to me. Okay. Speaking of waking up, let's talk about Sleepy Joe Biden and how Sleepy Joe Biden has decided to fucking take Easter and make it trans. That dumb fuck. Can't,
trans Easter.
Yeah. Dude, cannot believe. Imagine, pretty soon he'll want us to be painting those eggs fucking light blue and light pink and shit. Unreal. Who could possibly ever want to do that to those Easter eggs?
Yes. I'll
let Mike take it from here, obviously. This made a bunch of dumb headlines, I'm sure everybody knows, but let's talk about it. It's really funny.
Yeah, but the first things first, I'm gonna throw it over to moving feast expert Haley.
Hello.
To explain how Easter, how did this happen? How did the most holy day of the Christian faith get desecrated by Sleepy Joe Biden?
Wow, and his, I feel like I just got daggered agenda. In the back. Before the show, Mike vehemently no-sirred your wanting to talk about this saints. And
I'm talking about the feast, not the saints.
Oh, yes.
And then you even snuck in a little
We're
bit.
We're leaving the saints out of this.
Yeah, I feel like if I
for listeners Mike, who have been listening.
Too brute.
That's me.
For listeners who have been listening, they know that I've been following the feasts, the Catholic, you know, feasts and all the saints, the days that we praise saints. We're currently in the cycle of for Easter, the Lent, Easter, you know, it's a whole period. So the date of Easter, for those of you who don't know, is a movable feast. I'm just going to read the first paragraph of Wikipedia so you can kind of get the basics. It is determined in each year through a calculation known as computus, Latin for computation. Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday after the paschal full moon, a mathematical approximation of the first astronomical full moon, on or after the 21st of March, itself a fixed approximation of the March equinox. Determining this date in advance requires a correlation between the lunar months and the solar year, while also accounting for the month, date, and weekday of the Julian or Gregorian calendar. The complexity of the algorithm arises because of the desire to associate the date of Easter with the date of the Jewish feast of Passover, which Christians believe is when Jesus was crucified. So now let me get to this. So
wait a minute, we're just now getting to it? What the fuck is
yeah,
this?
Just
the ending
real quick.
Of the Lord of the Rings?
Just real quick. So because there's two calendars, because we have the Gregorian calendar, that's on a different day than the Easter Orthodox calendar. So we'll have two different Easters. And so there's all that. There's all that information. And trans day of visibility is just always on the same day. So there you go.
Right.
Boom.
And next year, Easter is going to be on April 20th. It's going to be Hitler's birthday. So we need to move Hitler's birthday.
That's also
away.
The weed day.
It's also the weed day.
Yeah, dude. Weed yes. and Hitler have forever been intertwined.
There's yes. a whole liturgical calendar that gets put out ahead of time. There's a lot. The Pope is involved here, you know. It's a big process to announce these dates, and they're not always fixed.
Also, it's only a big deal to people of that faith, which I have to stress, like, in America seem like a big deal, but worldwide, you know,
I don't think most people complaining care about any of this or know any of this.
Oh no,
dude! Easter already gets more days than it's worth because it gets like a fucking Ash Wednesday and a Good Friday and then an Easter Sunday.
Lent, Mardi Gras.
It doesn't need none of that shit. It doesn't like, yeah, no. It's like Christmas. You get one day. You get the day.
We're gonna get the Ascension of the Lord on May 9th.
And then like
this
in the
year.
Lead up to the day, you're supposed to have like an organic like upwelling of. Celebratory spirit leading, like, you're not supposed to just, you don't need to fucking put stakes in the ground to just be like, remember that you're celebrating, remember it's coming, and you should be celebrating now, you know? But I get it.
Sunday on May 19th.
I get that it's all a bunch of old, like, totally Christian nonsense, and definitely none of it was stolen by the pagans.
The most holy body and blood of Christ on June 2nd.
Yeah, now you're just getting even more made up. You're just getting further away from things that real people celebrate. I mean, like, if yeah. you, there's like an island in Spain where Catholicism has been the only thing governing them for 400 years, and they still don't have the internet, and those people are going to celebrate that June blood holiday. They're gonna love it. They're going to be about that shit. They're going to light a ton of candles for it and do, like, whatever stuff, but... Here in the real world, nobody cares about that. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, how Catholic can you be?
I care about it if it's time to weaponize a talking point against trans people to further demonize them. Yeah.
Well, that's Easter Sunday. That's the big show that's being used to demonize trans people. It doesn't need all this pomp and circumstance. It's the main event. This would be like Dwayne the Rock Johnson coming out demonizing trans people. Not that he ever would, because he's a saint. But
oh God, what was really funny when those guys were attacking me and fighting with me on social media. One of them was like, "Yeah, it's like obvious why he picked Good Friday to do this." And I'm like, "Buddy, you're the one on my timeline attacking me. Like, I didn't pick the date for this argument. You did. I did not set you up to come at me on Good Friday because I didn't even know it was Good Friday. I'm going to let you know in a little secret. I barely understand these holidays at all. I knew it was Easter was coming up because you people were throwing a fit about the whole Trans Day of Visibility happening on Easter, and you just saw it as a dumb way to score cheap political points by trying to demonize trans folks and make Christians feel persecuted when they're not."
Yeah, so anybody posting that, like there was no way to post any of that shit in good faith, right? Like you couldn't have just, like, I mean, if you were the biggest moron on the planet, I guess it may be, like, you could say it once, and then I think you should still be expected to correct your opinion as soon as somebody's just like, "Well, actually, Trans Day of Visibility is always the same day and Easter moves, so there's like a chance that they're going to overlap at some point." They should be like, "Oh, okay, well, I still don't like him, but fair enough." Like, you know, like...
Yeah, the excuse that I saw was kind of like, well, then he should have moved Trans Day of Visibility not to correlate with the Day of the Lord, you know?
Dude, the Lord gets mad days.
It would have been offensive to Christians.
The Lord gets so many days. Like, let's be cool. The Lord can share some of his days. Because technically every Sunday is for the Lord, and I think that if you're living your life by the Lord's rules, then technically every day is by the Lord, you know? It's all the Lord. So shut up.
I did see that Ashley St. Clair of the Babylon Bee, everybody's favorite conservative jokester website, even said, like, anybody that is complaining about Trans Day of Visibility and Easter lining up on the same day is just like a grifter because this always lands on the same day.
I also saw her say that. And I was like, I saw her get fucking attacked by a bunch of brainworm idiots, like, for saying that.
Yeah, they were calling her, they were
like, "Okay, like, op, whatever, dude, fucking, yeah."
Yeah, they were like, "Nice, oh, you're
hollering at Moloch
outing yourself
for us
as a Jewish person."
Yeah, enjoy being.
I saw a lot of that.
"Okay, hey, what's up, Juden, am I right? Hey."
It literally was. It was a lot of that.
If you're willing to call somebody Jewish pejorative, you're going for the German. You want it. You crave that German. Say it for it. Yeah, this is it. We're calling you this, so you know exactly what I mean by it.
Yeah, it is so nuts that people are just like, this is what happens in these movements where you're not allowed to stop them. Like last week when we talked about the bridge collapse, like one QAnon promoter was like, "Guys, this was just an accident." And his audience like crushed him. Like for Ashley St. Clair, it's like, I appreciate that you were being honest, but guess what's going to happen to your audience base? They're not going to tolerate this shit because you have spent years poking them with a stick and outraging them. They're not going to not be outraged. Like everything that is a possible way to be upset about something, they're going to take that excuse. They're going to run with the excuse to be upset about it. And there's nothing you can do to try to dial that back. And if you do try to dial that back, they're going to call you a piece of shit who's selling out the movement, because the movement is all about outrage. The movement is all about being upset at all times.
Maybe this moment will have her heroically spin off from her primary group and just continue to build a base, speaking like her truth, like technically part of that group, but outside of it, like our heroic Jay Stu, who we love so much. What a hero. Just kidding. That guy's a goober. Don't be like him.
You know, I just wanted to go on Twitter real quick to see. I was just going to pull the first comment that I saw that was calling Ashley St. Clair horrible things.
I thought it was weird that you were on your phone. That usually doesn't happen while we're recording.
I know. And literally just the first comment that I see is from someone with 1488 in their goddamn name.
Of course it is.
And they call her a perfidious Jew. I don't even know what that fucking means.
Look, I don't get what that person being born.
This is the state of Twitter.
I don't get what that person being born January 4th, 1988 has anything to do with anything. But I will say that post is a little suspicious.
Perfidious is a brutally over-the-top word to mean deceitful and untrustworthy.
That's how you know that he's one of the master race, because he uses a $10 word.
That is an absolute nuts. That was the first. I just pulled up one. It was that easy. Like, first one, boom.
I accidentally, you know? I accidentally kicked up a little bit of a shitstorm vis-a-vis this myself. Like, not like a, more like a dust store, a dust up than a shitstorm. But I was watching this video on YouTube, right, by this guy who is liberal. And this video was, like, almost 2 hours long. And as I was watching it, I was just like, this shit does not need to be 2 hours long. So I posted a comment, and I was just like, hey, man. 15 minutes into this thing, I can already tell this shit is too long. And then somebody like came back to me and was just like, well, that's what you get. Like, you know, a lot of these liberal left-leaning videos are like that. And I was just like, oh, yuck, I don't want no part of that. But then another guy jumped in and started white knighting for this dude. It was just like, you admitted that you skipped through some of it, so fuck your opinion. I was like, damn, bro. I was like, I'm not here looking for your validation, man. I was here giving this guy some criticism. Like, cut it down. It doesn't need to be 2 hours. Like, you're just kind of spinning your wheels. Like, I wasn't trying to be mean. In fact, I told him, I was like, I'll probably go finish it because it's not bad. It's just long. Anyway, it's just, I mean, people are just so up in their field, up in their feels about shit. Especially them trans folks. I was like, in my head, I was just like, what the fuck were we even talking about? The stupid trans Easter thing. Did anybody, like, who the fuck started that? Who was, like, the patient zero for noticing those two things and getting it spreading across the shitty social media blogosphere?
I don't know who was patient zero, but I, there was this, oh God, his name is like Jerry, he's got a really Italian last name. It's like Manor.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say his name was Gerrymander, and I was just like, oh, I love this guy already.
Yeah, I mean, like, but this, because I just saw him, he had this, like, series of posts where he was like, I got three family members who are now, like, absolutely not voting for Biden. They've been so insulted by what happened here today. Oh, it's so terrible. Blah, 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 blah. And, like, that guy was just, oh, man, was he milking that cow like you read
this
about.
Seems like the sort of crazy just... thing that a Coke-fueled Don Jr. would, like, say on his podcast or whatever. It's just like a nonsensical, hate-filled rambling that just takes off like wildfire because his daddy is somebody that people really like for some reason.
Yeah.
It's unreal that guy might still be the president of the United States, right? That's fucking crazy. Let's continue. Yes. Let's not let that go. Like, we are going to be talking about a lot more in the back half of this year, but in the run-up to the back half of this year, allow us to still be terrified that guy's still in the running for president of these United States.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not great.
And on that positive, uplifting note, let's go to our listener mailbag.
Our listeners got questions. We got answers. It's time for Q&A.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Meow asks, how can we convince Taylor Lee to change his profile picture? This is a thing because one of my stalkers on Twitter has a avatar that looks a lot like the Hell World thumbnail. And so
I have an answer for this.
Oh, hell yeah. Great. I'm just flattered. I'm keep it.
Crush.
We'll change our avatar instead because I want to make a new logo for us based off of the alien JFK mishmash of words.
The JFK alien?
That was said. Yeah, JFK alien. I want to make a JFK alien
Dude, we can pattern it off of this, like, weird fucking Kennedy poster.
Yeah.
I have an idea in my head that I'm going to workshop and show you guys. And that's my answer to this, because I don't know who this person is that you, our listeners, mentioning. But my answer is that we'll change ours at some point.
Oh, no. Taylor is a deeply mentally ill person who thinks he started QAnon, and he constantly pokes me for engagement because no one else will talk to him on the internet.
Oh, he's lonely.
He's a lonely dude. He's an absolutely lonely dude.
Yeah, but this lonely dude is connecting with us. So if you would like to connect with us even harder, that's patreon.com/pokerpolitics.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. So thank you for the question. Pancake Peasant asks, what is your favorite way to eat ham and cheese?
In a breakfast burrito with some eggs and pico de gallo and green salsa. Maybe from Filiberto's, for those of you from Arizona.
That does sound pretty nice. For me, it took me a moment to think about it, but at the end of the day, I come back to the world's greatest and best pizza, the Buffalo Chicken Royal Hawaiian, because it has both ham and cheese, so it qualifies, and it is still the greatest pizza known to man. To quote Homelander,
it was a good answer.
Perfect.
I think I would go with Elle's side on this because I am a boring boy. I do enjoy if it comes down to it and I'm just eating poor boy style, I do enjoy a ham and cheese sub. Just bread, slap, look, way more ham than cheese. Cheese is the accoutrement on top of the ham.
Oh, yeah. When I was hella poor, the move was I went to Target and I got one of those, like, $12, like, crummy sandwich presses. And then I ate a lot of just cheap fucking ham and cheap fucking cheese on cheap fucking bread, but toasted up nice on this crummy little device.
Oh, that does sound good. I do enjoy that idea of the power toaster.
My favorite thing about the little sandwich press is that once you get good at like knowing how much filling to put in and where to place it on the bread and how to layer it properly, you can get the real good crimps on the sides where it like crimps the stuff and it like just like seals all the flavor like an uncrustable.
Yeah. One of these days I'll have to go that extra mile and see if I can obtain such a device.
Oh, they're so cheap. They're like the cheapest kitchen appliance that gets you the most bang for your buck. Although you can go more expensive if you want better, like higher quality ones or whatever. But yeah, get one of them, get a little spray on, like Crisco or whatever, and dude, you're off to the races.
Yeah. And finally, Cleodora Silvestri, the Hellworld Grand Inquisitor, asks, back when you were a kid or a teenager, what is the worst advice the adults gave you?
That's such a funny question. That's such a funny question for me.
Okay, this wasn't like serious advice, but what immediately sprang to mind, which is pretty funny to me, because it was like advice that somebody definitely should not be giving me, technically a child, from them, technically adult. But at one point when I was like 13-ish, there was like a family party and I was hanging out and, you know, it was like a couple of the like local families from the neighborhood that my stepfather at the time was friends with. Anyway, one of them families had like an adult, but young adult, like 21-ish daughter who was this like very beautiful, very goth girl. So me, 13-year-old, mostly straight me, was just like, okay, yeah, I want to talk to this person. And so I did. I got a chance to. And we just had like a chill, like generally chill conversation, but like away from the other adults or whatever, because like she was like trying to fucking like pound beers with all these like 40-somethings. So she was like, yeah, I guess I'll talk with this like more mature for his age 13-year-old. Anyway, so we were shooting the shit. And for one, I don't even know how we got on this topic. She was just like, oh yeah, and never fuck on ecstasy, because it's just going to ruin regular sex for you for the rest of your life. And I remember even to this day just being like, what a crazy thing to just say out of nowhere. I was like, my God. And I was just like, I was like, does she know that I'm only 13? Like,
she left an impression. She wanted to leave an impression.
I mean, she did too. Yeah. And you know, to be fair, I've never fucked on ecstasy, but I can't say it's out of fear from this from this advice I got. Although if I ever would put in that like situation, I like to think that I would at least have pause, like a like in a sitcom or whatever, where somebody like like, just looks off to the side and, like, remembers in their mind, like, the dialogue from previously in the episode. But yeah, I just remember that was such crazy advice for a technical adult to be giving a technical child. It's just like, oh yeah, and by the way, don't fuck on ecstasy because it will ruin regular sex for you forever. It's like, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact that anything she said got through to me is, like, unreal because, like, I was just so enchanted by how gosh she was. I was 13, and this was, like, 2000, and I was just like, oh, yeah. Like, seeing authentic goth person of the wild, it's like, oh, shit, it's like The Matrix. I was such a goober. So funny. My God.
Oh, God.
But that was the first answer that came to my mind.
Yep. Haley, what terrible advice have you received?
Well, I just want to preface this that my dad grew up in a abusive religious cult, and then he coped by being a severe alcoholic and drug addict, and died young.
All right, keep
because
it light.
He partied too hard.
You know, like...
he was a fun guy. I mean this in a he was a fun guy way. He partied too hard, you know? And his advice to me was to always out crazy people if you get into sticky situations, which occasionally works and occasionally doesn't. One time he got mugged and it worked. He almost got mugged because it worked. but, you know, sometimes trying to out crazy people sometimes... to get out of sticky situations, just get you into more sticky situations.
Yeah, because it requires you to start acting crazy.
Yeah, and in today's society, it's hard to out crazy people.
Dude, that's why you
it's kind of hard.
Just up the blick. Have you just tried upping that blicky? You know, just lifting up the shirt, just being like, look at what I got. I got the tool on me. You know, that makes the situation go from like lightly crazy to wildly crazy real fast. Like, boom, it's like I'm when, up in it. Here you go. The tool. Observe.
When people ask me why, like, they make a comment about my mask in public, you know? And it's like, you just say you don't want to be scanned. That is that's a way to be a little crazy that works, but some other things don't always work.
You should just start coughing and then, lower the mask mid-fake cough. And then just be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm really sick. And see how they respond to you just coughing in their face and then telling them that you're sick and that the mask was there for their protection. I bet they'll be really reasonable about it at that point. Mm-hmm. Super reasonable.
Yeah. Oh,
Mike,
man.
What's yours?
Basically, I just remember, just being in social situations and then just having various adults tell me that they really wanted to get me, they really wanted me to start drinking. Or to just start indulging in recreational, like, marijuana and stuff like that. And I never had any interest in that. And it was just, like, I was always known as being a scattershot and a lunatic. And this is why I got the very boring nickname Crazy Mike that I very much didn't care for, because of the fact that it's such a low-effort nickname that anyone can be given. And there were just a lot of people that were in that, like, sphere that were like, oh, man, Crazy Mike is just so wild. And he's, like, not even on anything. Man, can you imagine how great it's going to be when we get him on stuff? And I've just never been of that life because mostly just because my grandfather was a raging alcoholic and I had to deal with him being just a terrible person as I lived in his home. And so, like, that just put me off of alcohol so aggressively that it was just something that I was never going to do. And just having people, like, just having those conversations where people were like, oh, come on, man, lighten up, have a brew. And I was like, no, I'm just not going to do that because, like, I just don't want to be in a situation where, people around me are impacted by the fact that I have an alcohol problem. And, like, I have an addictive personality. Like, I know that. Like, anything I do, I get way too invested in it. So
you
it's just like...
You invested in stuff way too much? I don't believe it.
You shouldn't. I mean, I'm obviously lying. There's, like, no way that I go, like, way too whole hog into way too much shit. So, yeah.
And I'm so, yeah, I should have gone last to, like... Give us a little bit like a funny tale to go out on.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
Who asked this fucking question of us? Boo! Look at what you did to my co-hosts. You're ruining our mental energy.
No. I talk about my dad in the positive. He was a fun guy.
Yeah.
You eventually got there.
Rock and roll.
The lead up was grim. for the record, my dad was also like a fun party guy that also had a grim backstory. I just don't really talk about it on the podcast. Although, for the record,
he drank hard in a fun way. That's okay. You know,
my job is to sort of like Tai Chi style, like redirect Mike's bummer energy into something fun, like being able to attest to the fact that despite the fact that Mike doesn't indulge in any sort of recreational substances, including alcohol, he's like a total teetotaler. He doesn't mind being around fucking completely wasted idiots, because I've hung out with Mike plenty of times. It's just like, Mike would come pick me up from a house party, and I would like stumble drunk and just be like, "It's time to go play Laser Quest." And we would just go to like the local like laser tag arena and just like do like an overnight lock in. And then by the time like 6 or 7 a.m. rolled around, I would be sobering up, and then we would get to like Denny's and just eat like tired pancakes together. And
you always need a sober friend.
Yeah,
you know,
it was great. And it was just like, Mike just knew what the score was. He was just like, and everybody that was cool knew what the score was. It was just like, he's not fucking with the stuff, but who cares? Just like, whatever. Just hang out with him while you're fucked up, I guess. Like, because he doesn't give a shit. Like,
those LQ lock-in nights were awesome. That was a good time. And then when I moved out to Vegas, I did a lock-in, and let me tell you, I like left after like an hour. Like
it really made you appreciate your home laser tag arena.
Yes. Oh, it absolutely did. I was like, holy smokes, what is wrong with you
people? Yeah, after traveling around the country for a little while and seeing some of like the closed down at this point, like ramshackle old establishments that like used to host, like, it seems like a lot of places used to have like laser tag like as a side thing. It would be like a pizza parlor that had like a shabby like laser like tag attached to it. It was just like, oh shit, having like a big good one of these local to us for like a reasonable price actually ended up being like a huge benefit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like there's a place near my house now that has that. They're like a restaurant and an arcade, and they just got like a laser tag like room and like on the second floor, because they just got so much space they didn't know what to do with it. So they're like, fucking throw a laser tag.
Also, the best part about those were, at least for me, it was a lot of the people that were there for the lock-ins were like the try-hard types, or at least the people that were like the most invested. Which, in hindsight, means it's really funny how badly I was crushing them that night, where I was like blackout drunk when I first showed up, and I was just like, "Girls, just some laser tag."
Exactly.
Because I destroyed idiots even that night. I was so good at laser tag for no good reason. All right,
the king of Highlander.
Yeah, so, and also the king of keeping it light and fluffy.
Yes. So that brings us to our light and fluffy final question, which is, what are you guys looking forward to?
Fairy Tale Fables. It's a game that's on Steam. I cannot recommend other people. I will tell you up front, it uses a vast array of terrible AI-generated artwork. So if that is something that you cannot abide, then do not play it. I will say that it is free to play. So that in my playing it is only... it's scratching an itch that can only be scratched by a studio taking a game that I liked playing before that failed, and then just rebooting it and just ripping it off completely and just doing it again. So I will say that for me, I will be playing this game for very specific reasons, but I don't advocate anybody else go and play it, because if you are opposed to AI-generated artwork, this game uses it completely and totally, and that is just the way it is. So do not give it your time or attention or money if that even bothers you a little bit, because it will really bother you.
Yes, the amount of soulless AI in this game is wild.
Even while I'm playing it, like the whole time I'm playing it, like when I'm not like actively taking game moves and I'm just like looking at the way it looks, I'm just like, man, how long is it going to take for these people to like get enough people playing this where they could just actually make this not hideous AI horseshit? How many people need to be playing this before they get enough money where they can actually like pay people to make it look not hideous and try to make it like a real go of it? But for the time being, I'm happy. It is still in early access technically, so you can just chalk this up to being like, oh, it's early access, like art, like beta artwork or whatever. If they go to full release with this shit though, then we're gonna have words, you know.
Anyway. Yes. So Haley, what are you looking forward to?
It's been raining a lot in Arizona the past, like, couple weeks, kind of. especially the last few days. And the wildflowers are starting to bloom here. So I'm looking forward to that. There's already some pretty good ones out. I saw one yesterday at Catalina State Park that was hot pink. And it was a color of a flower that I, you know, it's like, wow, that's amazing that nature could do that, especially in the desert.
I'm so charmed by your incredibly wholesome answer.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't what I was expecting. You're just like, when you started talking about how much it was raining, I was just like, I don't know what that means. I was like, I guess it's Arizona, maybe it's just dry. You're just like, and now it's wildflower season and everything looks pretty. And I'm just like, oh, nice. How wholesome. That wasn't like a weird goof or anything. That's fun.
The mountains got snow. A lot of the mountain peaks got snow this year. So there's actually water flowing in some streams it's nice to see. Nature. Anyways.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you should get out there and fucking photograph it or paint it or something. Just write about it. Let the creative impulse take you over, you know?
I took some photos and I think I do want to draw some stuff just from my border trip, because it's kind of wild to see like the beautiful nature and then like they're destroying it with this disgusting wall. Because like you'll see like a beautiful red like vermilion flycatcher, which is this bright red bird, just like perch itself like on the wall, and it's like, man, it would be like way cooler if it was like perching itself on like a beautiful flower. You know,
or a post-apocalyptic future wall with large segments of it having been destroyed and that piece is like rusted out, and the bird is there to signify that nature is reclaiming the earth from us fucking foolish humans, our stupid hubris.
It will. That wall is not. It's just not. It's not meant to last in that area because it's the wild. They put that thing in the middle of in a desert with like rough terrain. There's like a lot of water paths there that just naturally tear down the wall regularly if you don't, you know, open up the big floodgates, which like that becomes a political talking point when they're open. So yeah, it's not meant to last. It is a political joke that destroys nature, which sucks. I like nature. Anyways, that's my answer.
It started very wholesome, then it ended being
I'm sorry. It's okay. It's Arizona's fault.
Arizona could do that to the best of us, you know? They put a big wall up in the middle of your place. I don't live there, so I don't know. I don't live in any places where they're putting up giant walls, so I don't know what that's like. But I can imagine that it sucks, and it probably makes you feel pretty bad when you see one. How about you, Mike? What are you looking forward to? Probably some stupid sports horse shit, I bet. March Madness, I bet.
No, it's actually, I'm looking forward to seeing more of Nick Muhammad dressed up as Dracula in Taskmaster, because his outfit was incredible in the first episode.
It is really funny. I have high hopes for this season. I still love Taskmaster. It's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, if I were dating somebody and I could not watch Taskmaster with them, that would be like a big unfortunate detriment to our relationship, because it's like the perfect just like sit down on a couch and zone out show for me. It's like that. Absolutely. That like 30 Rock, you know, just like these shows I could just have on in the background and just like play around, dork around on my phone or whatever.
Yeah, I love the first episode of this season of Taskmaster. So, and like the thing is like a lot of the women on Taskmaster wear these really elaborate outfits, and I know some guys have like actually put in effort to wear crazy things, but like the men's outfits really just haven't resonated with me as much. So, him doing like the full Dracula was just like wham! Like finally, like there's a guy just going like so balls to the wall, ludicrous with his,
oh yeah, like, the guy that was dressed like Bruce Lee the whole time, and you could see the outline of his dick for the whole season. That he didn't do it for you. Remember the dick outline guy? I can't remember his name right now.
I think it was Phil Wang.
That does sound appropriate. Yes, yeah, Phil Wang. You didn't appreciate his costume choice. I mean, what a commitment to a fucking bit. If this guy from Ted Lasso wants to impress me, he needs to at least get the dick imprint. I mean, but if he wants to escalate, I'm going to need to see at least some of the shaft.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think the craziest thing about that was that apparently he didn't know how bad his outfit was until the first team task. And then one of his teammates was like, yeah, watch your dick out. And Phil Wang was like, what do you mean? And then he was like, oh, no.
Just... I mean, that's, yeah, like, you'd have to be a special sort of person to not check yourself for that. Like, what you're poured into your Bruce Lee suit. Anyway, yeah, good shit. And you know, I like having somebody to talk about Taskmaster with. So it's nice that I have a bunch of buddies who watch it, including you.
Yeah,
it's very exciting times.
Yeah, and also and for the sports ball, I'm actually more interested in the women's Final Four than the men's. Like, this Caitlin Clark thing is just hilarious, and I hope she makes it to the finals. And it's like the battle of Goliath versus Goliath, because like she's the best female basketball player versus South Carolina, which is like the best female basketball team by far. And just like to see the two of them go for the
which is like normally like a really funny would be a really funny statement, right? But in basketball, like, your individual player talent matters so much more because of the limited number of players like on the court at any given time. But that, right. That it really can't just be like this player and some folks assisting them versus this whole team of slightly less good than that players, but still pretty good players. And that's like an epic match where it's just literally just like essentially like a 1v5 with some assists.
Yes.
Like when they were building their exactly. Warhammer team, the one guy was just like, I really want one big, huge tank, boom, and some crummy guys to protect the tank. And the other team is like a bunch of like torch marines and like other shit, you know?
Right, exactly.
I need to have at least one semi-obscure nerd reference per episode. I think that was that one for this one. Boom, nailed it right at the wire, you know?
Boom. Way to get it done, sir.
But yeah, I mean, what a fucking meteoric rise to fame she's been having. Which is nice because it means that she'll thankfully almost certainly get paid what she is like worth, you know, which unfortunately doesn't happen to a lot of these female athletes.
No,
but you know, that's neither here nor there. And that would be a bummer that I don't want to go out on because we're all positivity and smiles here. So way to go, female Steph Curry, which I think is the funny way to have a lot of people describing this person, because I get it, Steph Curry is great, but like, let's not call her the fucking like the female version of like a guy who's good at a thing, you know? She's just great independently.
Yes,
like let's just call her the best in her field. How about that? The best in her field.
Yes.
But yeah, so on that note, we're gonna fucking, I don't know, double dribble our asses down the court and up out of Hellworld for the week. So thank you everybody for listening and for supporting the show. If you want to support the show and continue to do so for free but slightly harder, you can give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. If you want to give us money, we are happy to take it. You know, we consider it an honor to take your money because it's the best way for you to be like, hey, we like what you're doing. And you can do that by visiting us at patreon.com/pokerpolitics. If you donate $5 or more per month, you get access to all of our bonus content, past, present, and future, which is now like well over 50 hours worth of stuff from the back catalog of stuff, including when Sarge was still on the show, when we were breaking down Q-pop media, all the way to the most recent series where Mike and Haley have been breaking down the JFK assassination and a podcast thereof. So, you know, if you want to check out that stuff, $5 more per month, we'll get you access to that on our Patreon. At patreon.com/pokerpolitics. If you have money and you don't want to give it to us, Lord knows there's a million different ways you could be doing good with it in the world right now. There's a bunch of different conflicts and stuff that you could be donating to the right side of. But if you want a suggestion, a good neutral one that we've always given, you can visit love146.org. They're an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation. And that has always sounded pretty keen to us. We're not big fans of that stuff. And QAnon is also not supposed to be, but it turns out. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Thank you, as always, to DJ Minimal Effort for the use of our original theme song that then got accidentally remixed by Mike Rains into what you heard at the top of the episode. Thanks to our buddy Frosty, who you can find over at Blue Sky, at FrostyVO, for all of our voiceover work, including the voice of Q when we need it, all of our bumps, our content warning, etc. You can find the show on Twitter, at Hellworld, with a Q instead of an O. You can find me, the Mysterious L, on Blue Sky, at Mysterious L. You can find Haley on various social media, at Arizona Right Watch, or AZRW. And Mike Rains is, of course, various on social media, at Poker Politics. everywhere, including our Patreon. So at Poker Politics, if you want to get in touch with Mike Raines. So for another successful episode of the Adventures in Hellworld podcast, I have been one of your hosts, the Mysterious L, joined as always by not so mysterious Haley, aka Arizona Right Watch, and least mysterious of all, Mike Raines, aka Poker Politics. Godspeed, Patriots.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.